from the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, that is. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Monday, March 25th, 2024. I am the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Be there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is Monday, let's do that Monday march back to work. Just throw your backbone into it, put a smile on your face, keep a prayer on your lips, and trust me, everything is going to be just fine. And let's get things started officially with...
The Daily Denogram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. Good one. It says, time heals nothing. It merely rearranges our memory. Yeah. And if you live long enough, it just evaporates, right? And if your memory's no good, it's not an issue now, is it?
Get used to disappointment.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the podcast.
Twisted History.
This should be good.
Gather round, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Indubitably.
Some cool, some not so cool.
Uh-huh.
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
There you go. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1948, the first successful tornado forecast predicted that a tornado would strike Tinker Air Force Base, Oklahoma, and it did. And that was before color radar, too.
Wow.
And it was on this day in 1979, the first fully functional space shuttle orbiter, Columbia, was delivered to the Kennedy Space Center to be prepared for its first launch. Funny thing happened, too. Suddenly, the American public developed a new enthusiasm for the space program.
I claim this planet in the name of the Earth.
Well, to be sure, Senator Lisa Murkowski has given conservatives fits over the years, and she's at it again. Yesterday, she ripped into former President Trump, categorically ruling out the possibility of voting for him while being evasive about her future with the Republican Party. At least she's being honest. And I don't know if her future with the Republican Party is in question because the party doesn't want her or she doesn't want the party. Anyhow, let's quote her first and it'll kind of give you an idea of what's going on here. She says, I wish that as Republicans, we had a nominee that I could get behind. So this is while she was talking to CNN. She says, I certainly can't get behind Donald Trump. So earlier this month, what happened here was Murkowski, who's now 66 years old, gave a last-minute endorsement to former Republican presidential hopeful Nikki Haley, who dropped out of the race days later in the wake of a Super Tuesday drubbing, and I mean a drubbing. Boy, what a show that was, huh? Well, the Alaskan senator has long shown a penchant for bucking party lines, which is why she's been giving conservatives like you and me fits. Back in 2021, she was one of seven Republican senators who voted to convict Trump during the aftermath of the January 6th thing. You know, and I don't ever want to hear anybody say, that was an insurrection. It was not. Not by any definition of the word. That was not an insurrection. And Donald Trump had nothing to do with it. So only four of those seven, by the way, are in the Senate. So far, Murkowski's the only one of those seven to survive a re-election bid. But I think it's probably doubtful that she would again. And she hasn't been shy about going after Trump and recently denounced him for describing the individuals arrested for their actions during the Capitol riot as hostages, which shows you which side of the conservative fence she's really on, because they are hostages. You've got people who have been in jail ever since who have not been released. They've been in terrible conditions, and nobody in the federal government seems to be showing any kind of interest whatsoever in fixing the situation. So Murkowski told CNN again, she says, what happened on January 6th was an effort by people who stormed the building in an effort to stop an election certification of an election. And she says, it can't be defended. Well, Murkowski's also pro-abortion rights and voted against confirming Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court back in 2018. So you see, I'm sure there's not a lot of love lost between true Republicans or true conservatives and Lisa Murkowski. She's been making her bed all along, and now she's going to have to lie in it. Now, she's weathered fierce primary competition, including from Trump-backed attorney Kelly Shibaka in 22 and famously was forced to mount a write-in campaign after getting knocked out of the primary in 2010 by Joe Miller. But after all that, Murkowski remains a registered Republican. For how long, though? It's anybody's guess. But she's coy about how much longer she's going to stay that way. She explained to CNN, she said, I think I'm very independent-minded. I just regret that our party is seemingly becoming a party of Donald Trump. I would like to just kind of grab her and shake her by the lapels of her suit and say, do you not understand why Donald Trump is so popular these days? Do you live in the same America that John and Jane Q. Lunchbox live in? Or are you just totally clueless? I think she's clueless. She's been living in those cloistered halls in Washington far too long. So anyhow, she said, I'm navigating my way through some very interesting political times. So she first got into the Senate in 2002, following an appointment by her father, former Governor Frank Murkowski, and was generally in sync with her party, but that changed gradually. Back in 2008, Murkowski was forced to contend with then-Alaska Governor Sarah Palin. Don't know if you remember that, but it was pretty big. Notching the nod to become vice president despite her public criticisms of Murkowski's father. Now, the senator, Murkowski, put out a statement in support of Palin nonetheless at the time and found that kind of interesting. But she's the second most moderate Republican in the Senate after Susan Collins, remember her, of Maine? Wow. And most of her tenure in the upper chamber has been has taken place under the leadership of Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. That's another one. McConnell's been very defensive of moderates within the GOP conference. But he did it at his own peril. That's why he is where he is now. And that is on the way out. It's beginning to look like the dust is settling on the January 6th events. Eventually it had to, right? Smoke is clearing. But one name has been thrust into the spotlight, and that is the name of Chris Miller. Now, he's the man who allegedly threatened President Trump with military force during the Capitol riot. He's now been called to testify before a congressional committee, but from a conservative point of view, this so-called threat may not be as clear-cut as it seems. So let's have a look into some of the details and uncover the real truth behind the headlines. And that is where my interests, my personal interests, really lie. Now, to understand the situation at hand, you first have to address the elephant in the room, and that's the biased mainstream media. But at least now, just about every living, breathing American knows about the mainstream media bias. Both sides. They know it's there. Of course, the left enjoys it because they know that they're on their side. They've got the media. Hook, line, and sinker. But the exposure of their biases has proven to be very, very important. Now, as expected, left-leaning outlets have already painted Miller as a villain, with headlines screaming about his alleged threat to use military force against the president. But what they conveniently fail to mention is the full context of Miller's words. It's pretty clear that their aim isn't to inform, but to perpetuate their narrative of demonizing conservatives. So let's look at reality here, shall we? Miller's statement was taken completely out of context and blown out of proportion. As a former special forces officer, he was merely stating that the military has the duty to protect the president and the Capitol should the need arise. It's a basic principle that any soldier would understand. Yet the media is using this to paint him as a potential instigator of violence, further fueling the already divisive atmosphere. And it's no secret that the left has been eager to blame conservatives for the Capitol riot, but let's not forget the fact that the vast majority of those who stormed the Capitol weren't Trump supporters, but rather Antifa and Black Lives Matter activists disguised as Trump supporters, and we have all the video in the world that you would need to prove this. And let's not forget the left twisting the narrative and using it to further their political agenda. And as conservatives, we have to stand united, visibly united, against these false accusations and demand that the truth be revealed. Furthermore, it's important to note that Miller's not the only one being called to testify. Where are the demands for the left to be held accountable for their role in the riots? Remember the riots that went all summer long that previous summer? And where's the call for Nancy Pelosi to answer for her responsibility in the lack of security at the Capitol? I think she's just as evil and just as guilty as any hardened criminal we've ever witnessed. It's pretty clear there's a blatant double standard at play here, and it's time for the truth to be exposed. Let me illustrate, again, the double standard that previous summer with all the rioting. It was okay for rioters to be out rioting, even though everybody else in America was locked down, ordered to wear masks. But it's okay if you want to riot on behalf of libs. So as Miller prepares to testify, we have to remember that he's innocent until proven guilty. And from a conservative perspective, it's evident that he's being used as a scapegoat in an attempt to basically vilify the former administration and its supporters. But eventually, the truth will prevail. And Miller's going to have the chance to defend himself against these baseless accusations. So it's pretty much time to see through the media's agenda and demand the whole truth. Chris Miller is not a threat to our democracy, but rather a victim of the left's constant attacks on conservatives. And we have to stand by his side. We have to support him in his quest to clear his name and expose the real perpetrators behind this Capitol riot that everybody still talks about. Time to uncover the truth and put an end to the dangerous game of manipulating public opinion for political gain. Up until recently, I really didn't care to characterize our views as Americans as our side, their side, but that's where we are. Admit it. There's our side and then their side. And their side is wrong. Okay? Really. And I love it when a slam dunk happens like this, where Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon Friday signed a bill that bans doctors from performing gender transition and sex change procedures on minors. Thank God there is courage out there. Yeah, you have to look around for it, but if you do just a little bit, you're going to find it. So under Senate File 99, any healthcare professional who provides a minor with puberty blockers, hormone therapy, or sex change surgeries is going to be subject to having their licenses suspended or revoked. Well, how about that? And while he signed the bill, he didn't seem enthusiastic about doing so, but he did it. So let's quote him. He says, I signed SF 99 because I support the protections this bill includes for children. However, it's my belief that the government is straying into the personal affairs of families. Now, believe it or not, I actually understand that stance, that point of view. I understand it. But I don't think he has anything to be worried about. And, he also said, our legislature needs to sort out its intentions with regard to parental rights. While it inserts governmental prerogative in some places, it affirms parental rights in others. Yeah, good point. Of course, the American Civil Liberties Union of Wyoming opposes the ban. there are certain things about the ACLU and their local chapters that we just know are going to happen. That's one of them. So here's what they had to say. By signing this bill into law, Governor Gordon has put the government in charge of making vital decisions traditionally reserved for parents in Wyoming. This ban won't stop Wyomingites from being trans, but it'll deny them critical support that helps struggling transgender youth grow up to become thriving transgender adults. See, what I don't understand about that argument is, what's wrong as a parent with just telling your kid who wants to transition to the other gender, look, you can do it when you're an adult. When you're out from under my roof, do what you want. Knock yourself out. Have fun. Gee, take on two genders if you want at the same time. Remember Pat on Saturday Night Live years ago? That was hilarious. But, you know, here again, this all seems to be taking place as a result of complete lack of courage. By the way, the law is going to go into effect on July 1st. So even though he did it reluctantly, we got to give him credit. He did it. So there's something way back in the deep recesses of his mind that told him, got to do this. You remember Frank Luntz? L-U-N-T-Z, remember him? He used to appear on Fox all the time. He was a pollster, and he used to extrapolate all the information that he would gather in these polls, and then he'd have the little chalkboard or electronic board, and he would explain the results of these polls to the rest of us, you know, us lay people, so that we could understand them. And I used to like the guy, and then something happened. I think what happened was Donald Trump. I think he just didn't like Donald Trump. So he's gone over to the other side. And by the other side, I mean he went from Fox over to CNN. And he was asked at CNN about the possibility of New York AG, Letitia James, the evil Letitia James, seizing Trump's assets. And he gave the far left network a pretty stark warning, saying that if James does this, she's essentially going to make Trump's case for him, and he'll surely be elected. Of course, I think we all know he's going to be elected anyhow. And not because that Trump is so great, he is, but he's going to be elected in November because look at the country. Look at the shape we're in right now. My God. I mean, on any given day, you can honestly say that we're in as bad a shape as we were in the late 70s under Jimmy Carter. And, you know, ever since Carter left office back in 1981, January of 81, I said to myself a gazillion times, if those kind of days ever hit this country again, it'll be too damn soon. And here we are. So anyhow, the point Luntz is making is a good one, but it may have already happened in the mind of the public. I mean, people already see this happening. The mere possibility of it is as real as if it already happened. You know? So anyhow, here's the exchange on CNN because John Berman was anchoring the program. So you'll hear John Berman's voice first.
All right, Frank, the politics of this. Folks in the Biden campaign are already starting to refer to Donald Trump as Broke Don, which is interesting. And then there is the possibility that the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, would have to start or would start seizing assets, maybe even buildings. How do you think that would play?
I want you to remember this moment, and don't forget it. If the New York Attorney General starts to take his homes away, starts to seize his assets, it's all going to be on camera. Pundits are going to sit there and scream about this. This man cannot be elected. You're going to create the greatest victimhood of 2024, and you're going to elect Donald Trump. If they take his stuff, he's going to say that this is proof that the federal government and the establishment and the swamp in Washington and all the politicians across the country and the attorneys generals and all of this, that this is a conspiracy to deny him the presidency. He's going to go up in the polls just like he went up every single time they indicted him. The indictment, let's not talk about whether it's justified or not, but it will prove the things that he's saying on the campaign trail, and he will go up and it may just elect him president. Do not forget that. And I say this to the Attorney General right now. If you play politics on this, this is what the Secretaries of State did in Colorado and what they did in, I believe, is Maine. His numbers went up in both states. I don't understand. I'm almost speechless in how pathetic the opposition to Trump has been and how completely misguided. And this is a perfect example of it.
You know what I find so surprising about this, though? I find it surprising that Luntz had to make that point. I mean, isn't this one of those self-evident truths? Come on, we all know this. Every time somebody attacks Trump through the legal system, through what we're calling, lawfare? He comes out even higher in the polls. He's winning the swing states already. I mean, he's already won. Figuratively speaking, he has already won the necessary Electoral College votes. The man is a winner. But why is he a winner? Well, I mean, there's no genius involved, really. When he was in office before, he started no new wars. He stabilized the economy. He played tough with our enemies, China, Russia. He played tough. He was firm. And everybody knew that you couldn't screw around with the United States of America. So why this surprise? Donald Trump's strengths are not so much because he is a shrewd businessman, but that plays a big role in it. But his strengths right now, where we are in our society, this very moment, his strengths are there because we are not a happy nation. We're not. And then you look at the border situation. Oh, come on. You know, why is there so much road rage these days? Because everybody is, pardon the expression, pissed off. Well, Donald Trump is set to double his net worth as his Truth Social platform goes public. We found this out over the weekend, but he says he doesn't intend to give any of that money to a New York court, instead planning an appeal all the way to the Supreme Court. Meanwhile, the deadline for putting up a $454 million bond looms before the New York Attorney General can start filing to seize Trump Organization assets to execute judgment on the civil fraud case after today's deadline. Now, President Trump told Fox News Friday afternoon, he said, "That doesn't mean I'm going to give money to a rogue and incompetent judge, the puppet of a corrupt attorney general who's failing with violent crime and migrant crime and whose only purpose in life is attempting to get Trump." I love the way he put that. That was very good. Earlier that day, again, we're talking Friday, he posted on Truth Social that he had nearly $500 million in cash following comments that the biggest surety companies in the world had never heard of a bond as big as $454 million. For a private individual, and that they couldn't issue one even if they wanted to. So it remains pretty unclear at this point whether President Trump's going to secure a bond of that nature or justify or satisfy judgment of some other way by the deadline today. Now, in February, New York Supreme Court Justice Arthur Engoron, this is the guy we're talking about, entered this judgment that basically ordered Trump to, among other penalties — there are other penalties in there, but the big one that everybody's talking about, of course, is to pay the $454 million in disgorgement. Now, Trump said the court battle in the fraud case was far from over. Quoting him, he says, "I'll fight this all the way up to the Supreme Court if necessary. They can't take away your property before you've had a chance to appeal the decision of a Trump-hating, incompetent judge who's been overturned more than any other judge in the state." I love that. Good, solid statement right there. And that's how I have to play the game. And that's what it is. It's a game. It's a political game, this game of lawfare. It's a new game. But I warned you a long time ago. I warned you probably this time last year. The Democrats are going to do anything and everything they possibly can to prevent Donald Trump from showing up on the ballot. It's not going to work. But that's what they're up to. Trump pointed out that Justice Engoron had already been overturned in this very case by the appellate division on multiple points. And the appeals court had set a statute of limitations, which the defense argues the judge ignored during the trial and in the disgorgement calculations. Now, the defense had argued that the statute of limitations effectively cuts out the majority of the claims Attorney General Letitia James brought in the case, but the judge allowed the evidence, allowed it in as long as it could be connected to transactions within the statute of limitations. So Trump claimed the judge openly and honestly disrespects the decision of the appellate division, which ruled in his favor. And he said he hoped the appellate division would get the or set the record straight. Trump also criticized the attorney general for bringing what he described as a politically motivated case instead of prosecuting violent crime. And I think that's a fair argument to bring forth. Very fair. He says the business community in New York is being devastated by this decision, and businesses are fleeing New York, never to return, because they don't want this to happen to them. In the meantime, violent crime is flourishing. And what I always wonder about stuff like this is the instigators of this kind of lawfare. Do they even spend a moment thinking about the repercussions, the ramifications of this kind of behavior? Obviously, they don't. And on that count alone, I am stunned. But then who am I? I'm just a country boy out in Liberty, Texas. Anyhow, the unusual judgment has indeed sent more than its fair share of shockwaves throughout the business community in New York. Governor Kathy Hochul tried to quell fears that similar lawsuits would continue, raising eyebrows when she said businessmen who weren't Trump had nothing to worry about. Well, really, what an admission. If you're not Donald Trump, you have nothing to worry about. She just basically admitted that this is all about Trump. And how legal this is really has no bearing in the case. It's just all about Donald Trump. I mean, just think of the statement that makes. I mean, these people are not only open about what they're doing, they're actually flaunting it. Let's haul on over to the Comedy Corner and Carrie Louise.
I know I'm dumb. They said I was dumb in grade school. They coded me. They said I had LD, ADD, ADHD, AA, AAA. I know. Yeah, the AAA, that's the worst. You got to pay for that every year. And I have dyslexia too. A little, not all the time. Don't worry about me. I don't have it all the time, just when I read. I swear to dog, I have it. Some of you do too for not getting that joke. Like, numbers screw me up, like when I'm nervous. Not all numbers, I like 11. That's my favorite number. I'll never forget my grandmother, she was choking in my kitchen and I kept on dialing 119. I'm gonna miss her. My mom has dyslexia. I think that's why I have it, but it doesn't really affect our relationship. I wanted to ask her to go out to lunch on 57th Street, but I really meant to say 75th Street, and she switched it in her mind, and we met there, and no one knew, so. So, yeah, it's hard. I was in the lowest reading group when I was little, and the teacher tried to be creative as naming the groups as animals so we wouldn't know, but I knew. I may be dumb, I'm not stupid. So she's like, the giraffes go in that corner and read, and the elephants go in that corner and read, and the slugs. Yeah, that's you, Carrie. Go back to first grade. And then the teacher, every Friday, she would get all the reading groups together, and we all had to read a chapter book out loud. Very nerve-wracking for me. We had to go in a row and read a paragraph. So now I'm nervous, so I count down the people, and then I count down my paragraph and I practice so I can do well. Well, Billy, the smartest kid in class, he was sitting in front of me, and the teacher loved Billy. She's like, oh, Billy, you're doing so well. Just continue to the next paragraph. And I'm like, no, 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 that's my paragraph. No, 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 no. So I stand up, I start reading like louder than Billy, and I'm like, that is my paragraph. I'm reading. And now I'm on Ritalin. And I know I'm dumb because they said it in my report card in the comments section. They didn't say, your kid's dumb. They can't say that. But I knew that that's what the teacher was trying to say in the comment. Like, I may not be able to read, but I can read between the lines. Because she writes, Carrie tries really hard. Carrie's creative. Carrie's a pleasure to have in class. That means Carrie tries really hard. She never gets the answer right. She creatively thinks of the answer that's so out of this world, makes me laugh, and causes me pleasure. Yeah. Don't worry about me, though. I'm fine. Like, I'm smart. Like, I'm street smart. I'm not book smart. Like, I'm going to be on the street, and I'm going to be fine. Like, no one's going to come up and rob me or anything. But if I'm on the street, and someone comes up to me and said, read this, feel like I'm getting robbed. I'm not reading it. Take everything.
That's it. Get out there and make it a marvelous Monday. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic broadcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.